Nama Om Vishnu Pataya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Vishnu Padaya Bhutale Shri Mate Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pritcharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Desakharine Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari
Hari Krishna Hari Krishna 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 Hari Hari
Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama. Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama. Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama.
Yes.
Ram, Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram
Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram
Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram
Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai
Patita Pavana Sitaram
Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Pavana Sitaram
Sitaram Jaya Sitaram Sitaram Jaya Sitaram
Sitaram Sitaram
Sitaram Jaya Sitaram Sitaram Jaya Sitaram
Sitaram Sitaram Sitaram Jaya Sitaram
Sitaram Jaya Sitaram Sitaram Jaya Sitaram Raghava Rajaram Patita Pavana Sitaram
Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Pavana Sitaram
Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Sri Ram place that Lord Sri Ramchandra performed his pastime of disappearing from the mortal vision of the residents of this material universe.
this morning. We are blessed with the good fortune of uniting together on the banks of the holy river Sarayu to absorb our heart of hearts in hearing and chanting the glorious pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he appeared within this material creation in the Treta Yuga as the son of Dasarath and Kausalya in this holy land of Ayodhya. Lord Ramchandra descended into this world not only to destroy the wicked Rakshasa Ravana and his associates, but to establish the pure principles of religion by his words and especially by the standards of his behavior. The Lord manifested within his pastimes the sweet loving relationships that he shares with his eternal associates. And by showing the nature of the love between the Lord and his devotees, he is giving all living beings conditioned by the three modes of material nature the opportunity to absorb their consciousness in remembering the Lord's pastimes and thus become attracted to once again return to our eternal loving service to him. Last night we discussed in brief the Supreme Lord's appearance, his beautiful pastimes in the palace of Dasarath and Kausalya. And then his journey with Vishwamitra Muni to the Siddhashrama, where the Lord dispatched Maricha and Subahu. We came to the Lord's visit to the holy city of Mithila. Through the evening, Maharaj Janak discussed with Vishwamitra Muni various transcendental subjects matters. Then they all took rest for the evening. Early the next morning, Vishwamitra Muni, Lord Sri Ram and Lakshman arose and performed their spiritual duties of devotion and worship to the Lord. Interesting how the Supreme Personality of Godhead was worshiping Lord Vishnu, because he took the role of a human being to show us how we should begin each day. Till later that morning, Maharaj Janak came to greet them. He bowed down at the lotus feet of Vishwamitra Muni and offered his very sincere greetings to Ram and Lakshman. King Janak, with folded palms, asked Vishwamitra Muni, "How may I serve you?" I am here for your pleasure. To tell me, how can I please you? Vishwamitra Muni requested that you bring us to see this famous and celebrated ball. King Janak proceeded to explain the history of this ball. Long ago, Lord Shiva, Mahadev, he fought with the great demon, Tripasura, and he defeated him and his cities with this bow, and thereby gained the name Tripurari. Then, during the yajna of King Daksha, Lord Shiva, with this formidable bow, challenged the devatas and those who were on the side of Daksha. But when they saw the wrath of Lord Shiva, they became so very fearful that they surrendered to him, offered prayers and worship to him. Thus Lord Shiva gave the demigods this celebrated bowl, which is all-powerful. The demigods later on entrusted it to one of the great forefathers of Maharaj Janak, whose name was Devarata. He kept that bow in a very reverential place in the kingdom, in a beautiful, beautiful casing. And since that time, the ancestors of Devarata worship that bow as none different than Lord Shiva himself. Janak Maharaj explained that this bow is so big, it is so powerful, that no man besides Shiva had the power to even lift it. Maharaj Janak went on to describe how he was about to perform a great yajna for the welfare of all of his citizens. And he personally, as the king, took plow in hand to plow around the sacrificial arena, as was the tradition. As he was plowing in the earth through the sacrificial arena, the most wonderful pastime took place. The plow turned over the earth, and from the heart of the earth, a beautiful golden child appeared. His beautiful little daughter, King Janaka, took from the earth and brought home to his palace and raised her as his own daughter. Her name is Sita. I have made a vow that Sita, who was of superlative divine qualities, it will take the man who was able to lift and string this bow to take her hand in marriage. Because of Sita's fair qualities, great warriors, kings from all directions were coming to win the hand of Sita. By the thousands, but none of them could even lift the bow. In fact, most of them, they were not even able to look at the bow. Even the great Rakshasa King Ravana came, and with all of his might, he pulled and he pulled and he pulled and he struggled and he strained and he wept and he cried, but he could not lift the bow. the kings, the princes, they became so much aggrieved because they so much wanted Sita, that they were so humiliated in an ocean of shame that they could not even move the boat. Due to this shame, they all came together and declared war against me with great armies, many, many Akshohini divisions. They attacked my city. With all of my forces, I fought with them. 1 full year of continuous battle. My armies, my treasury was being depleted trying to fight against all these heroes. Thus, King Janaka explained, I had to pray to the demigods to help me. And the demigods, in answer to my prayer, they scattered all of these Kshatriyas in all directions to protect our kingdom. Since that time, there is no one who has been able to match the challenge that I have given to win the hand of Sita as my daughter. But now I am feeling very much worrisome. Will my daughter remain a widow throughout her life? Is there no one in all the world who is qualified to marry her? But today I am seeing the illustrious beauty and virtues of Sri Ram. It is my hope and my prayer that he will lift and steam this ball. For no one before in my life have I ever seen who is a suitable match for the virtuous and chaste Sita. Please come, and I will bring you to the assembly where the bow will be revealed to you. They went into the assembly house, and Maharaj Janak called for the bow to be brought. There was a big, big cart with many, many wheels. 5,000 strongly built soldiers struggling and straining with all their might to pull that cart on its wheels into the assembly hall. Thus, they opened the case. When Vishwamitra Muni, Ram and Lakshman saw this bow, they were struck with wonder. It was huge, formidable bow, personally constructed by Vishwakarma for Lord Shiva's use. No one had ever used it before or after Lord Shiva. It was beautiful wood, ornamented with gold, silver, and all kinds of jewels. Sita was sitting on a balcony with her girlfriends. Many of the other citizens of Ayodhya crowded into the assembly hall to see whether this beautiful prince, Dasarathi Nandan, would be able to win the hand of Sita in marriage. When Srimati Sita Devi saw the beauty of Sri Ram, that eternal love within her heart awakened for him, she looked upon him and prayed that let him string this ball. Let him take my hand in marriage. Let me forever be his servant. But with her beautiful lotus eyes, which were timid and shy like that of a young deer, when they saw the very tender limbs of Lord Ram. And then they glanced upon the very hard, formidable bow. She began to worry, how is this possible? At the time, Lord Rama was only 16 years old. He was a youth in his blooming stage of life. Even old, seasoned gods, rakshasas, and heroic kings could not even look upon this bow. How will Ram possibly be able to do it? But hope against hope, Sita prayed. Lord Ram approached the bow. With folded palms and great respect, he offered his obeisances to this mighty weapon of Lord Shiva. Reverentially, with folded palms, he circumambulated the bowl several times. Then he stood before it, looking upon it with great gravity in his eyes. Then he looked toward his spiritual master, Vishwamitra Muni. Because without the blessings of Guru, Lord Ram considered no endeavor to be auspicious. Vishwamitra Muni offered his blessings to Lord Ramchandra to lift the bow. Then the Lord walked up to the bow and put his one hand in the center of it. Meanwhile, Sita Devi, with tears of expectation in her eyes, her limbs were trembling with anxiety. And King Janak, he was praying hope against hope that let this Ram string this bow. And all the citizens of Ayodhya who were assembled on that day were in rapt trance seeing this beautiful, youthful boy about to attempt to do what no one has ever done before. Sri Ramchandra grasped the bow and effortlessly he lifted it up above his head. People were shocked. Maharaj Janak was thinking, this is extraordinary. How is it possible? Sita, her anticipation was growing more and more and more. After lifting it above his head, he placed one end to the ground and the other one was way up high. Sri Ramchandra then took the string. He strung the bow and he pulled the string. As he pulled the string, the bow bent more and more and more until it was like a half circle. Then the Lord pulled it all the more. He pulled it and pulled it until that mighty bow could no longer bear his strength. It cracked. The sound of the crack of that bow was like thunder. In fact, it created an earthquake throughout the world. Even the heavenly planets, they were shocked and stunned to hear this thunderous sound coming down from the earth. As the earth was shaking, and this thunderous roar of the bows breaking was reverberating in all directions, everyone on earth fell unconscious. Except Ram, Lakshman, Vishwamitra Muni, Janak, and Sita. Maharaj Janak began weeping in joy. The citizens of Ayodhya began to call out, Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram. And Sita Devi, her eyes filled with tears of happiness, was beyond herself with excitement. She was breathing, heaving very hard with uncontrolled happiness. Maharaj Janak then called for her to come down. She came before Lord Ramchandra with the garland of victory. This beautiful garland, which was made up of golden flowers, was only meant for the person who would be the future husband of Sita. She stood before Ram, holding the garland, looking at his lotus feet. Then she looked into his eyes. And when both of their eyes met, the eternal union of love between them was ecstatically awakened. With Janak Maharaj's permission, Sita placed the garland around the neck of Lord Sri Ram. At that time, everyone in the city of Ayodhya present began to cry out with jubilation in their hearts, Sita Ram ki jai!
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 King Janak, weeping in exhilaration, he said, now, Ram, we will make all preparations, for you have won the hand of my daughter in marriage. Immediately, Vishwamitra Muni and Janak Maharaj sat together and dispatched messenger to go back to Ayodhya to bring the good news to Dasarath Maharaj. It took 3 days for them to arrive in Ayodhya. The messengers brought precious gifts from Janak Maharaj to be presented to Maharaj Dasarath. The messengers explained the whole story, how Lord Sri Ram broke the bow of Shiva. Dasarath Maharaj was shocked. How is it possible? He's just my little boy. He's only 16 years old. He's still depending on me for his survival. Dasarath Maharaj, no matter what he saw or heard of Lord Ram's glories, to him he was still his child. Dasarath explained to his ministers that just when Vishwamitra Muni came, I was pondering about who would be a suitable bride to marry Lord Ram. It was certainly the will of providence and the arrangement of Lord Vishnu that Vishwamitra Muni had come to take him and bring him to Mithila. Dasarath immediately ordered all of the virtuous senior members of his kingdom to prepare to leave for Mithila, for the marriage of Sita Ram. Very soon they began their journey.
Maharaj Janak
made every possible arrangement on the way to bring comforts and pleasures to the bridegroom's party as they approached. I believe it took about 6 days for Dasarath's party to arrive at Mithila. Maharaj Janak and Dasarath Maharaj, when they met, they embraced. They were old friends, and now there was going to be an everlasting union between the two great dynasties. They embraced, they cried in happiness, as Janak explained everything about the great victory of Ram. They made arrangements for the marriage, called Vashishtha Muni to be the head priest. Janak told Dasarath that this was the fulfillment of a prophecy that Narada Muni had spoken to me. When I met him and he saw the beauty of Sita, he explained to me that she is the eternal consort of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu himself will personally descend into this world and take her hand in marriage. And it is because of this that I made a condition of lifting this bow and stringing it, because I knew no one but Vishnu could do it. So the arrangements for the marriage began, and there was a wonderful arena made. They made a pandal that was 4 miles in diameter, because they invited kings, rishis, and sages, and princes from all over the world. And there was beautiful assembly houses, palaces, for them to be comfortable. Vashishtha Muni personally was orchestrating all of the arrangements for this most blessed of all events. It is explained that Vishwamitra Muni requested Maharaj Janak that since you're going to marry Lord Ram to Sita, assembled here is also Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. I suggest that we find suitable matches for them also. You have another daughter who can marry Lakshman, and your brother has 2 daughters who could marry Bharat and Shatrughna. Janak said, "Very good, this is very good." He called his brother, whose name was Kushavaj, made the arrangements that Ram would marry Sita, Lakshman would marry Sita's sister, Urmila, Bharat would marry Kushavaj's eldest daughter, Mandavi, and Shatrughna would marry Kushavaj's younger daughter, Shrutakirti. So the 4 princes, they had their special baths, they shaved their heads. That is the tradition for people getting married, according to the Vedic system. But these days people are very attached to their hairs. They were decorated with very, very costly silken garments, anointed with oils, and very beautiful jewelry and ornaments were put upon them. Maharaj Dasarath personally led them into the sacrificial arena. As they sat, there were thousands upon thousands of Brahmins chanting Vedic hymns to invoke auspiciousness. There was musicians playing beautiful ragas from the Vedas. And there were dancers dancing. Then Maharaj Janak, along with his brother Kushadvaj, escorted in the beautiful princesses. There was Sita, Urmila, Mandavi, and Shutakirti. When the four princes saw the beauty of the four princesses, they were very satisfied in heart. Vasishtha Muni began the ceremonial rituals, and at the auspicious moment the great King Janak brought his daughter before Lord Sri Ramchandra, and with the words, "I offer my daughter Sita to you, my dear Ram. She is more dear to me than my very life and soul. It is my promise that she will serve you with all dedication. She will be like your shadow to follow you wherever you may go. Whatever your fortune or misfortune may be, she will be by your side to give you happiness. Now, please take the hand of Sita in marriage." Giving the hand of Sita to Lord Ram, Vasishtha Muni, as well as Janak, sprinkled sacred water to consecrate their holy marriage. The same divine ritual was then performed between Lakshman and Urmila, between Bharat and Mandavi, between Shatrughna and Shrutikirti. Thus the marriage was complete. Upon the marriage of Sita and Ram, demigods showered flowers. The rishis and sages were just jubilant at heart. They knew that this would bring about great dharma and prosperity for the whole world. And Dasarath and Janak, they simply wept in happiness. And there was Kausalya and Kaikeyi. Anyways, this wonderful marriage was so pleasing to the hearts of everyone. King Janak then gave rich dowry. He gave hundreds and thousands of elephants and horses, chariots, soldiers. He gave millions of beautiful garments, silks, jewels, decorations. They gave hundreds and thousands of cows to all the Brahmins who performed the sacrifice. Each cow had just given birth to a calf and had golden horns and golden hooves. They gave abundant food grains to the Brahmins, to the sages. In this way, everyone was fully satisfied. Vishwamitra Muni, who had fulfilled his purpose, then took leave of all of them, returned to the Himalayas to perform his tapasya. After a few days, King Dasarath returned to Ayodhya with his entourage. And Ayodhya was overjoyed with jubilation to welcome their beloved Ram and his brothers with their new brides. Together they lived. Lord Sri Ramchandra, his life and soul was to please Sita. And Sita, she was so intensely eager to serve Lord Ram that she had the ability to know whatever was in the innermost core of Ram's heart without his asking. She would be doing all services just to give him happiness. King Dasarath, seeing how all of the citizens of Ayodhya had such deep love and regard for Ramchandra, he one day called an assembly. Just before this, Kaikeyi, who was the mother of Bharat, her father, who was the king of Kekaya, called for Bharat and Shatrughna, his grandchildren, to come to his kingdom to spend some time with them. So he sent his son, who was Kaikeyi's brother, Yudhajit, to Ayodhya to bring them to the Kekaya province. So Dasarath Maharaj agreed, and Bharat, Shatrughna, along with their newly wedded wives, went to the distant kingdom. Dasarath Maharaj called his ministers and told them that I have been serving as king for many long years, more years than is expected. Now I am old. My health and strength is fading. I wish to retire. I desire to coronate as the Prince Regent or the upcoming King, Lord Ramchandra, because I have taken note of all of his good qualities. He is humble, obedient to his superiors, very, very submissive to the Brahmins, kind and compassionate to all living beings. I have never, ever heard a complaint against him, either from his seniors or even his juniors. He's a chivalrous warrior. He's brave and fearless under all conditions. He is well read and learned in all of the military and statesmen and knowledge of statesmanship. I wish to coronate him as the Prince Regent. When Vasishtha Muni and the sages and the ministers heard it, they celebrated. So be it. Let it be. Dasarath just after had a dream. In that dream he saw inauspicious omens and a negative constellation was about to happen. So Maharaj Dasarath felt that before this takes place, the coronation should be. So with the permission of Vasishtha Muni, he called Ramchandra. He said, I have decided that I will coronate you as the Prince Regent. Lord Ram accepted, whatever is your desire, my father. Dasarath Maharaj said the coronation will be tomorrow morning. You should prepare yourself by visiting with Vishishta Muni and getting good instructions. Lord Sri Ram went to Vishishta Muni and he told him that he should stay awake that night for some time and he should fast and worship Lord Vishnu and worship the sacred fire, and gave him all very detailed instructions. Meanwhile, the word spread throughout Ayodhya that tomorrow morning Lord Ram would be coronated as the prince to become the king. Kaushalya was overjoyed. Sita was overjoyed. Lakshman. Everyone was dancing and singing in the streets. It was actually the heartfelt desire of everyone in Ayodhya to see Lord Ramchandra become the king. Celebrations were everywhere. Ayodhya was the most festive city in all the universe. That evening, Mantara, who was a hunchbacked maidservant of Kaikeyi, she went upon the terrace of her palace and she looked and she saw Kausalya giving immense charity profusely. And she was so happy. Mantra approached Lord Rama's nurse and asked, why is Kausalya so happy? What is all these festivities? Why is everyone jubilating all over Ayodhya? And the nurse said, oh, you haven't heard? The fulfillment of everyone's desire will be achieved tomorrow. Rama, he will be coronated as the regent prince of Ayodhya. Mantara heard this, she became filled with envy and anger. She was thinking that I'm a deformed hunchback woman, and people speak all kinds of ridiculing remarks against me, but I happen to be the favorite maidservant of Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi is the favorite queen of Dasarath. Therefore, I have royal opulences, I have fame, I have so many great fortunes that come by my association with Kaikeyi. But if Ram becomes king, then Kaikeyi will be seen as second class, and I will also be seen as second class. I will be neglected, intolerable. It has to be stopped. Actually, the demigods, knowing that Ram's mission was to kill Ravana, they personally arranged through their Shakti to pollute the mind of Mantara with envy. She devised a cunning and wicked plan. She went to Kaikeyi's inner chambers, and Kaikeyi was rejoicing. She had heard Ram would be the king. It was the fulfillment of her innermost desire also. Shantara asked, "Have you heard? Have you heard that there is a deadly noose tied around your neck about to kill you and make you suffer miserably?" Kaikeyi said, "What are you saying? What is that?" "Ram is going to be coronated as the prince regent." Kaikeyi said, "That is good news. We should celebrate. We should give him charity." Amantara, she could not tolerate seeing the happiness of Kaikeyi. "This is joyous. You should be happy." Kaikeyi, more angry, said, "You are a fool. You are a wretched creature. You do not know what is in store for you if you allow this to take place." Kaikeyi said, "What are you talking about? What are you saying? Have you gone mad?" Mantara said that Ram has always been envious of Bharat. "You don't know because you're blinded by affection, but I see these things. And he knows that Bharat is superior to him in all respects. When he becomes king, he will banish Bharat to the forest, or he may even murder him to make sure that he doesn't take the throne. And you, at the best, you will just be a second-class woman. Dasarath will favor Kaushalya, and he will mistreat you, abuse you, and neglect you. And at the best, Bharat will simply be the slave of Ram. Are you going to tolerate this? Are you going to allow this to happen?" Kaikeyi, being very confused, she said, "Mantra, what are you saying? What are you speaking? Ram and Bharat are best of friends. They love each other dearly. This can never take place." Mantra continued, "That you must stop this immediately. If you do not stop this, then your son will suffer miserably for the rest of his life." Why? Why did Dasarath send away Bharat and Shatrughna, and then when they're away, decided to have this coronation? Is it because it is a devious, envious conspiracy against Bharat? Can't you see? The writing is on the wall. You will become the slave of Kausalya, and he will become the slave of Ram, and ultimately you will both be destroyed. Gradually, Kaikeyi's mind was being contaminated by Kaikeyi. This happens to be the influence of bad association. Kaikeyi was such a virtuous, loving queen. But due to associating with a wicked woman full of envy, she became wicked and full of envy. Kaikeyi asked, "What can be done? Is it too late? Is there anything I can do?" Mantra said, "Yes, there is. Do you not remember, many years ago, Dasarath was fighting on the command of the demigods? He was fighting against some great, great demons. In fact, Dasarath was such a mighty warrior that he fought as if his chariot was covering 10 directions at the same time. That is why he was given the name Dasarath. At that time, the demons, so powerful as they were, they inflicted terrible, terrible wounds upon the demigods who had to flee. And your husband, he was being pierced and with various arrows and lances in his body. He fell unconscious due to suffering of pain. At that time, you took his chariot off the battlefield and nursed him to health. When Dasarath came back to consciousness, he was so grateful to you for saving his life, he offered you two boons. But you told him that you didn't want anything. But he insisted, and you said, at some time in the future, perhaps I will take these boons. Now is the time! Take these boons! And I will tell you what boons to demand. The first is to install, through coronation, Bharat as the prince regent, the future king, and then banish Ram to the forest for 14 years. Because if you coronate Bharat, but allow Ram to be here, Ram, due to his envy, will create all kinds of conspiracies to pull down Bharat and take his position. You must protect your son. Kaikeyi, convinced of the wicked mind of Mantara, she entered into her special inner chamber, which was for the exclusive purpose of sulking when she was angry. We have heard of wives who do like this. So Dasarath, he came to the palace of Kaikeyi to tell her the good news that Ram is going to be coronated as king tomorrow. Kaikeyi was the favorite queen of Dasarath. She was the youngest queen and most very, very beautiful, full of all good qualities. When he came in to her room, he saw that she wasn't there. He looked throughout the various parts of the palace, but his beloved Kaikeyi was not to be found. He asked one of the maidservants, and she said that Kaikeyi is in her sulking room. Dasarath Maharaj was wondering, why in the world would she be in sulking room on such a joyous occasion? Dasarath enters. He saw Kaikeyi had thrown her jewelry on the side and the floors and thrown parts of her garments, and she was dressed in a way that her robes were scattered. Her beautiful sari was all disheveled, and her hair was undone, and she was laying on the ground crying. Dasarath Maharaj's heart was so soft, he could not bear to see his wife in this condition. He approached her and placed his hand on her head and placed her head on his lap. And he said, my beloved Kaikeyi, this is a time for rejoicing. Tomorrow your beloved son Ram will be coronated as the future king. Kaikeyi laid there, crying, angry, practically hissing like a snake. Upon seeing this, Dasarath's heart was melting more and more and more. He said, my beloved Kaikeyi, please tell me, what can I do to take you out of this condition. I'll do anything for you. You know, I am your faithful husband. What do you want? I'll give you anything, but be happy.
Kaikeyi looked at him and said, do you mean that? You will give me anything?
Dasarat was like a deer entering into the web of a vicious hunter. He said, of course, I'll do anything for you. I've always done anything for you. What do you want? She said, do you vow that whatever I ask of you, you will give me? I will give you whatever you ask. Of this there is no doubt. Do you make a vow? He said, I make a vow in the name of my beloved Ramchandra, who is my life and my soul, the most dear person in my existence. And you know, Kaikeyi, after Lord Ram, there is no one more dear to me than you. In the name of Ram, who I will give my life and soul and everything for the pleasure of, I make a vow that I will fulfill whatever you desire. Kaikeyi asked, are you certain that you will fulfill your promise? Dasarath said, in the presence of all the prominent demigods, I promise to fulfill your desire. She said, am I certain to believe that whatever I ask, you will fulfill? He said, I make vow in front of the sun and the moon and all of my forefathers of the Raghu dynasty that whatever you desire, I will give you. Then Kaikeyi, feeling great jubilation in her heart, like a serpent hissing, she said, if you break this promise, your name and your fame of you and your whole dynasty will be destroyed. Do you remember when you offered me two boons, when I saved your life? Dasarath Maharaj said, yes, of course. I claim my two boons from you today. Whatever it may be, ask. The first boon, with the paraphernalia that you have arranged to coronate Ram, I want you to coronate my son Bharat as the prince regent, the future king of Ayodhya, an emperor of the world. And my second boon is you banish Ram to the forest, where he lives by eating roots and fruits and wears nothing but the tree bark and the skins of animals for 14 years. When Dasarath heard these words, Dasarath Maharaj fell to the ground unconscious. And then he got up. Tears were pouring from his eyes. His mouth became dry like desert. His limbs were trembling in grief. He couldn't believe what he had heard. He spoke, is this a dream? Is this a dream, a terrible nightmare that I am experiencing? You evil, cruel, hard-hearted woman. You are invoking the very destruction of my entire dynasty. Don't you see? Don't you see what you're doing? You are going to be the cause of my very death. Dasarath then, helplessly, fell at the feet of Kaikeyi. Holding her feet, he begged her, please, please, don't do this. It is impossible. It cannot be. If you like, I will coronate Bharat as king, but don't send Ram to the forest. Separation from Ram will be the very cause of my death. It will be the very cause of the destruction of the entire kingdom of Ayodhya. I will offer you all my wealth. I will offer you the entire kingdom. But please do not take Ram away from me. Kaikeyi, not at all moved by any sentiments, she looked at him with great wrath in her eyes and said that you have given your promise. You cannot break your promise. And if you dare to try to break your promise, I will drink poison. And you will be known throughout history as the destroyer of the dignity of your entire race and the murderer of your own wife. Dasarath Maharaj once again fainted. He was laying on the floor. That if you carry this through, you will be the cause of my death. What has Ram ever done to you? Ram has always treated you like his own mother. He's loved you. He served you. And you know Bharat. He loves Ram. He worships Ram. Where has this evil come into your heart? Have you gone mad? Have you gone crazy? Give up this foolishness. I'll give you anything you want. But please do not take Ram away from us. Kaikeyi, you are a wretched being. You have made your vow 3 times that you would keep your word. And now, like a faint-hearted coward, due to material attachments, you are about to break those vows. Cannot break this vow. You have spoke before the demigods, before your forefathers. Dasarath Maharaj, gasping for air, he said, on this very day, I disown you. You are no longer my wife. I discard any association, and I regret I've ever had anything to do with you. Then he fell to the ground again, unconscious. He laid there all night, trying to reason with Kaikeyi, but it was utterly futile. In the morning, the celebrations were beginning throughout Ayodhya for the coronation of Ram. At that time, Sumantra, who was the chief minister and dear friend of Dasarath, was looking all over for him. He came to the palace of Kaikeyi, and there he found Dasarath laying in the ground in an ocean of sorrow. Sumantra couldn't understand what was happening. Kaikeyi spoke that Dasarath, he was working very hard arranging for the ceremony today, so he's very tired. He is requesting you to call Ram at once.
while.
Ram was making all nice arrangements for his coronation. Sumantra went to Ram's palace and told him that your father is calling for you just now at the palace of Kaikeyi. So Lord Sri Ram, along with Lakshman, they boarded a beautiful golden chariot. And as he was heading toward the palace, the people of Ayodhya were showering him with flowers and singing beautiful songs and calling out, "Today you will become the regent prince. Today you will be coronated. Today will be the fulfillment of all of our desires." Ram entered into the inner chambers of Kaikeyi's palace. And to his very great surprise, he saw Dasarath laying there, aggrieved with agony. Lord Ram could not understand. He said, "My father, why are you in this condition? It is a day of rejoicing. Please tell me." Dasarath could not even look at the face of Ram. Lord Ram asked, "Why will you not look at me? Why will you not speak to me? My dear father, please tell me." Kaikeyi spoke. "Your father cannot speak to you because of what he has done. He has made a vow. And that vow will be that my son Bharat will be coronated as the future king, and that you will be banished to the Dantakaranya forest for 14 years, where you will be dressed in nothing but the bark of trees and the skins of animals, eating the roots and the berries that the monkeys eat." "Your father does not have the heart to tell me, to tell you. But now, in order to protect his honor and dignity and keeping from going to hell from breaking his vow, you should go to the forest at once." Lord Sri Ram is completely unaffected by hearing this. He maintained perfect composure, and with folded hands, he said, "If my dear father has made this vow that I should go to the forest and Bharat be made the future king, then I will be happy to go to the forest. It is not a problem at all. I will give my life to maintain the dignity and integrity of my father." He looked at Dasarath Maharaj and said, "Please do not be sad. Please do not feel aggrieved in your heart. If this is your desire, it is my desire. I will immediately make arrangements to depart for the Dandakaranya forest." When Dasarath, he could not speak a word. He just laid on the ground moaning, Oh Ram. No other sound could come out of his mouth. Then Sri Ramchandra, he went to the house of his mother, Kausalya. But this time, knowing that his destiny was to live in the forest as a hermit, he did not get on his chariot, but rather he walked barefoot to his mother's palace. The people of Ayodhya couldn't understand, what's going on? Why is he walking like an ordinary person? On the way, Lord Ram explained the incident to Lakshman. Lakshman's heart was pierced with pain and anger.
Lord Sri Ram entered into the palace of Kaushalya. When he entered,
the other maidservants of Kaushalya had already heard about the banishment of Ram. They were weeping and crying and howling in pain. Meanwhile, Kaushalya did not hear anything about this. She had fasted all night, and she performed all sorts of auspicious rituals for the pleasure of her son. And she was just rejoicing. When Ram came into the room, Kaushalya, she just said, "Oh, Ram, it is so wonderful that you have come now. Today is the happiest day of our lives. Today you will be coronated." Lord Rama, he said, "Oh, I have come to tell you the news. This news will bring terrible, terrible pain to your heart. A great calamity has come upon you." Kaikeyi has asked two boons of your dear husband, Dasarath Maharaj, and my father has granted her those boons. That Bharat will be coronated as king, and that I will be banished to the Dandakaranya forest for the next 14 years. When Kaushalya heard this, she could not believe what her ears were hearing. She fell to the ground, eyes filled with tears. She wept and wept. With a trembling voice, she tried to speak. "For many years, I had to suffer the pain of being childless. Through so many attempts, your father tried to give me a child, but it was never to any avail. I was thinking, that will I live throughout my life without offering any child as a prince to my husband and to the citizens of Ayodhya? How much pain I bore all those years. But then you became my child, my one and only child. You are my life and soul. There's nothing in the world I love more than you. This news has come to bear a deeper agony than anything I could ever even imagine. My heart is broken in two. I believe that my heart must be made of solid steel. Otherwise, how is it that after hearing this news, I am still alive?" "My dear Ram, you cannot go. You cannot go." Then Kaushalya fell to the ground in faint. And when she came to consciousness again, she said that if you do have to go, due to this evil will of my co-wife, then I will follow with you. I cannot stay in the city of Ayodhya without you. Kaikeyi will abuse me. Dasarath will neglect me. On top of losing my most beloved son, it is unbearable. I will not survive. Just as a cow will follow her beloved calf into the forest, I will follow you into the forest." Then Kaushalya collapsed. Seeing this, Lakshman could no longer contain his anger. He went into a state of fury. He said, Lord, he said, Ram, you are faultless. You have never made an offense to anyone in your entire life. This is not right. Our father has become a puppet in the hands of an evil woman. Due to lust, our father has given in to the evil desires of Kaikeyi. Therefore, you should not honor his promise. In fact, if my father, Dasarath, persists in banishing you to the forest, then I will personally, with my sword, I will kill him. And if anyone stands between me, I will kill them. I will destroy the entire army of Ayodhya, but you will not go to the forest. This is my vow. Look at your mother. Look at Kausalya. Look at the pain that she is bearing. Lakshman looked at Kausalya and said, you please be assured, I will never allow this to happen. With my flaming arrows and sharpened sword, I will destroy anyone and everyone that comes in my way of coronating Ram as king tomorrow. Today. Lord Ram, he said that it is not sinful what my father has done or Kaikeyi has done. They are not causing me any harm. Please know that it is my foremost duty to protect the honor of my beloved father. He has given his word. He has made his vow. I must protect it. And nothing will change my mind. He explained to Kausalya and Lakshman that these material bodies are just temporary situations wherein the eternal soul resides. These material bodies are destined for death. And between birth and death, all sorts of unexpected, predestined occurrences will come about. Actually, all these relationships, father, mother, brother, brother, husband, wife, they are all just like pieces of straw meeting in the ocean of material existence. But then when the next wave comes, these straws scatter, separated from one another. So we should not take so seriously all of these materialistic relationships. What we must take serious is Dharma. And my father has given his word. He has made a vow. And I cannot allow him to break his vow. That is my duty, to protect him. My dear mother, please know that Dasarathji, cutting their heads, he was waving his sword in all directions. I will kill them, I will destroy them, but today you will be coronated as king. I dare anyone to stand before and challenge me. Lord Ram explained
that please do not blame Kaikeyi. She is not at fault. This is the will of Providence. And Providence's will is very strong, and it must be honored. I will not change my resolve. My dear mother and brother, I will return in only 14 years and once again be here to serve you in the happiness of your association. Kaushalya, she began to weep more and more and more, said, if you must go, my son, if you must go, then please allow me to come with you. A cow cannot allow its calf to be taken away. Similarly, it will be worse than death for me to live in Ayodhya without you. If you are determined to go, I will go with you. Lord Rama said to Kausalya that you know the virtues of real morality. It is the duty of a wife to serve her husband. At this time, Dasarath, he will be grieving terrible, terrible pain due to my exile. Unless you are there at his side to help him and serve him, he will certainly give up his life. It is your duty before the Lord to be with your husband, especially in this greatest time of need. You must stay home. Kaushalya, knowing that everything that Ram said was true, she somehow or other managed to gain the strength to speak what Ram wanted to hear. Ram was begging her, please give me your permission and blessings. She said, go, my son. Go with my blessings. And I will be awaiting at every moment for this 14 years to expire when we will be together again. Ram and Lakshman then went to the palace of Sita. He entered into Sita's room. Sita was just overjoyed with happiness preparing for the coronation. She said, my dear Ram, today is the most auspicious day. But why is it that you are looking very despondent? Your eyes are gazing down and you are perspiring. You look like you are disillusioned. This is not the proper state of mind on a joyous occasion as today. What is the problem, my lord? What is the problem? Lord Ramchandra then explained to Sita, that Dasarath has granted Kaikeyi the boons, that Bharat will be installed as the future king, and that I will go to the forest to wear the bark of trees for 14 years. When Sita heard this, actually, Ram went on. He said, when I am gone for these 14 years, you must stay back and you must serve my parents You must serve my mother and father because they are going to need you very, very much. And this 14 years will pass very, very quickly. Sita was shocked. Her beautiful lotus eyes filled with tears. What have you uttered, my dear husband? What is it that you have said? Such words are not befitting you. If you are going to the forest, then I am coming with you. A wife shares both the fortune and the misfortune of her husband. I will walk ahead of you, and with my feet I will trample all of the thorns to make your path soft and comfortable. But by all means, I will come with you. I am deeply, deeply pained that you have not considered taking me with you. Lord Ram began to describe the dangers of the forest. My dear Sita, you have been brought up in the palace of Maharaj Janak, sleeping on soft silken beds, eating the most tasteful foods, with dozens of maidservants around you, ready to offer you anything you desire. You have never seen an inconvenience in your whole life. Do you know what it is like to live in the Dandakaranya forest? You'll be walking barefoot on the forest paths where there are many thorns to harm your soft feet. You will have to sleep on the hard, cold ground. All that there will be to eat is the roots that we pull out of the ground and the wild berries that grow in the trees. During the nights, it will be pitch dark. On those moonless nights, there will be no light anywhere. In the forest, there are innumerable mosquitoes to bite you, scorpions to sting you, cobras and other deadly snakes slithering around that can attack at any given moment. Deadly man-eating wolves, lions, bears, tigers infesting these forests. During the winter, it will be freezing cold. During the summer, it will be burning hot, and there will be no shelter. You will have to wear the coarse bark of trees. And besides that, in these forests are roaming man-eating rakshasas, ready to devour anyone they see. It is not befitting you, beloved Sita. You stay home in the beautiful palaces of Ayodhya, and you take care of your mother-in-law and father-in-law, and I will soon return. When Sita heard this, she cried. She said, I have made a vow that I will follow you and serve you in any condition. At the time of our marriage, my father made a vow that I will follow you like your shadow wherever you go, and I will be faithfully dedicated to assisting you in any condition of life. It is my duty to protect my father's vow. besides that, Ram, to be with you, there is no danger. I know your might, your strength, your glory. If I am with you, even hell is like heaven. But to be without you, heaven will be worse than hell. My dear Lord, I cannot live without you. The forest will be such a pleasing, wonderful place with all nice trees and birds singing. All the glories of Ayodhya will be wherever your lotus feet are standing. Sita appealed with tears in her heart, in her eyes, in her heart throbbing. Please protect my father's promise and take me with you. Lord Rama's heart, melted by her appeal, replied that I want to take you with you. I cannot live without you. But still, I had to warn you about the dangers of forest life. Now, prepare yourself by giving away everything you have. Take leave of your superiors, and we will immediately go to the forest. Then Lakshman fell at the lotus feet of Ram, holding onto his feet, and pleaded, "Take me also, take me. I cannot stay back. Please take me." Sri Ram replied that you must stay here. Our aged parents, they need you. Besides, if the evil Kaikeyi, if she abuses Kaushalya or Sumitra, your mother, then who will be there to make sure that they get their rights? You have to stay and you have to take care of them. Lakshman already knew that Ram would say that. So he prepared his answers. He said, "Dasarath has already made provisions for all of them. So there's no problem, no problem at all. And besides that, wherever we are in the forest, the rishis and sages, they'll all know what's happening in Ayodhya. And if ever we get the news that there's some injustice to our mothers, I will be back in a second to punish the intruders. Please take me with you. We have never been separated from our very births. I will not live if you do not." Lord Ram smiled and told Lakshman that you take leave of your mother and father and prepare immediately to enter into the Dandakaranya forest. The three of them, Sita, Ram, and Lakshman, then walked on their bare feet to the palace of Dasarath to receive his permission to enter into the forest. When they arrived, Dasarath was still laying there on his couch with the evil-minded Kaikeyi standing over him. Sumantra, the charioteer and minister of Dasarath, when he saw Ram, Sita, and Lakshman begging for permission to enter into the forest, he couldn't control his anger. He spoke very, very terrible, harsh words against Kaikeyi. But Kaikeyi was like a piece of stone. She did not care for anything he said. Dasarath then said to Sumantra that get my entire treasury and put it on chariots and bring it with Ram to the forest. In fact, bring all the armies and send with Ram to the forest. Bring all the opulences of Ayodhya and send it with Ram to the forest, and I too will go with Ram to the forest. Kaikeyi flew out with anger. She screamed at Dasarath, "You cannot do this! Because you have vowed to coronate Bharat as king, and everything within the kingdom must be there. Otherwise, you are breaking your vow."
Hare Krishna.
Lord Ram, he turned to his father and said, "I have just taken a vow of asceticism for the next 14 years. If I'm an ascetic, what do I need the wealth of Ayodhya for? I don't want any of this wealth. There's nothing for me to do with it in the forest. You keep it all here. Let it be ruled over by Bharat. I wish to go to the forest with nothing except the bark of trees." At that time, Kaikeyi personally handed over to Ram, Lakshman, and Sita clothes made out of tree bark and said, "Put these on and go." Ram and Lakshman immediately took off all their princely clothes, put it on the floor, and fastened the tree bark around their bodies. Two pieces of tree bark. One is a copan and one is an upper cover. Then Kaikeyi handed the other tree bark to Sita. Sita looked at it. She didn't know what to do. She started to try to put it on, but she didn't know which part went where. Innocent Sita, with tears in her eyes, she was completely culture shocked. Trying to put on tree bark with great difficulty. She was in a state of confusion. Upon seeing this, Lord Ramchandra personally put the tree bark over Sita, fastened it with his own loving hands. This was too much for the citizens of Ayodhya. Kausalya was there, Dasarath was there, Sumantra was there, seeing Sita in that bewildered state with tree bark around her precious princessly body. Everyone began to weep and cry. They were falling unconscious to the floor, thinking of Sita wearing these tree barks for the next 14 years. In fact, Vasishtha Muni could no longer control his anger. Scornfully chastised Kaikeyi. "Do you not see what you are doing, you wicked, cruel, serpentine woman? You are the destruction of your husband. You are the destruction of the entire Raghu dynasty. You are bringing utter shame to all. Does your heart not soften by seeing the soft, tender, beloved Sita in the bark of a tree? Kaikeyi did not say a word. She remained firm in her resolve. The only thing she said was, "Leave immediately." Dasarath was praying, "Please stay one more day, just one more day." Kaikeyi said, "No, they must leave immediately." Ram was thinking that the longer I stay, the more pain Dasarath's going to have to feel, having to somehow or other struggle with the reality that I might leave. So the sooner I leave, the easier it will be for the citizens of Ayodhya. Kausalya then approached Sita. And embraced her and gave her blessings. She said, "My dear Sita, please serve your beloved husband, Sri Ram, deity, and be always there as his faithful and chasteful wife to give him pleasure. Go with my blessings, my dear daughter. Go with my blessings." And then Lord Ram turned to Kausalya and said, "Please do not show your pain to my beloved father Dasarath. He's suffering enough pain himself." Lord Ramchandra then turned to all the citizens of Ayodhya with folded hands and begged them to please forgive him of any offenses he may have made. Then asked their permission for him to leave. As they boarded the chariot, Sumitra, the mother of Lakshman, embraced her son with her eyes flooded with tears and instructed him that, "Please, my serve your elder brother, my son, with great care and attention." They boarded the chariot here in this holy city of Ayodhya. The citizens were crying out, "Stop, stop, do not go." Ram told Sumantra,
"Go."
Sumantra began the chariot. It was Dasarath's own chariot. The citizens were saying, "Stop, stop, stop." And Ram was saying, "Go." The citizens were saying, "Slow down, we want to follow him, slow down." Ram was saying, "Go faster, go faster." Dasarath, Maharaj, Kausalya, Sumitra, they were all following the chariot. Ram could not tolerate seeing his father struggling, falling, getting up and falling, getting up and falling, trying to follow the chariot. He said to Sumantra, "Go faster, go." And Dasarath was saying, "Slow down, slow down." Sumantra was very much torn between all of these contradictory instructions he was receiving. Finally, when Dasarath could no longer keep up with it, he fell to the ground, collapsed. His queens tried to pick him up. Kausalya on one side, Sumitra
as well as Kaikeyi. When Kaikeyi touched him, Dasarath, in terrible anger and pain, he said, "Don't touch me. I disown you. I sever our relations as husband and wife. I have nothing to do with you, and I have nothing to do with anyone that has anything to do with you. Get out of my life. You have come to bring my death." They carried Dasarath back to his palace. Actually, before carrying him back, he insisted on staying there. And he watched the chariot as it went into the horizon. And then he fell in the tracks of, in the dust, the tracks of the wheels of the chariot, knowing that that would be his last remembrance of Sri Ram. Meanwhile, the citizens of Ayodhya, whoever was fit to do so, they followed the chariot wherever it went. They were calling out, "Let the forest become Ayodhya, and let Ayodhya become a forest. Let the only ones for Kaikeyi, that evil-minded, wicked woman, and her son Bharat rule, let them only rule over the empty buildings. We will all go to the forest to join Ram." In this way, Lord Sri Ramchandra left Ayodhya to begin his 14-year term of exile. They came to the Tamasa River, where thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people were still with the Lord. It became nightfall, so the Lord decided to take rest there. All the citizens of Ayodhya, having walked all day long, were very, very tired. They all slept on the bank of the river. And late at night, sometime before the sun even rose, Ram woke up with Lakshman and Sita and told Sumantra, "Very quietly, take our chariot from here. And do it in such a way that the citizens of Ayodhya cannot find us." Sumantra, very expertly, he went to the shallow parts of the river and drove the chariot that way so that no tracks would be there. Instead of going by main roads, he would go by small little forest paths and then through other little rivers. When the birds began to sing in the morning, the inhabitants of Ayodhya woke up frantically. Where is Ram? They searched here and there, but they could not find even a clue of where the chariot had been. With broken hearts and great dismay, they all returned to Ayodhya. Ayodhya became like a ghost town. There was no life. None of the shopkeepers wanted to open their shops. There was no singing, no dancing. Nobody even had the strength to clean their house or take baths. The whole of Ayodhya was immersed in an ocean of lamentation and grief. Thank you very much.